pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this day because we want to thank you for the goodness and mercies to all generations and for our lives. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and my salvation. Amen. Today is another day. Another day and probably the end of the series Pastor Okyong started weeks ago, the summer in Psalms. Today we are looking at Psalm 100. This is a very short psalm, shorter than the Lord's Prayer we say almost every Sunday. And I can say it without looking at the book. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. In simple terms, this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. And it is a psalm calling for the whole earth, the whole world, and not just selected few to come and worship God. The traditional view of this psalm is probably that of a temple worship or a ritual in the temple. However, the postmodern principles do apply to any service directed or rendered in the service of God. And any service of God is a service rendered to humanity. And any service rendered to humanity is a service rendered to God, vice versa. The psalm, in many ways, indicates that we are created by God and given the responsibility to take care of the world and the earth. These responsibilities indicate that we are to be responsible partners in God's creative process. The call to worship for God is not just to biblical listeners or biblical people, but it's a call to all the people of the earth, to all the people of the world, irrespective of your religious affiliation. We are his. In verse 3 in this text, indicate that we are God's creation on earth for a purpose. And that purpose on earth is to be active participants in God's creation. God's creative purpose indicates that God can meet his people anywhere and at any time. And we, on the other hand, can meet or should meet God anywhere and at any time. Whether you are a teacher, whether you are a pastor, whether you're a medical officer, whether you're a janitor, whether you're a choir director, we are all serving God purposefully. This psalm has a pattern. And if you follow the pattern, verses 1 and 2 make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It's a call to worship. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his and the sheep of his pasture. It's a reason for worship. A call to worship and a reason for worship. Verse 4 says, enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Give thanks to the Lord and bless his name. It's a call to worship. And verse 5, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations is a reason for worship. This is the simple pattern of this short psalm. A call to worship and a reason for worship. The psalm definitely has some elements of worship. Shout joyfully and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter his gate with thanksgiving. Enter his court with praise and be thankful and praise his name. These are the simple elements of worship in this psalm. But why should we worship God? According to the psalm, we should worship God because he is God. Because he is Lord. Because he is our creator. Because he is our owner and shepherd. Furthermore, we should worship God and praise God because he is good. His mercy endures forever. And his truth to all generations. Generations and generations. However, in this text, we experience a conjunction in verse 3. And postmodern theologians have problems with this, even today. Verse 3 states, I know that the Lord is God. This is an indication that God is unapproachable, transcendent, immutable, a God who sits high and is far away from his creation, but a God who at the same time judges his creation. In this same text, this same verse, we are told that we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This indicates that God is intimate. God is intimate to me and you. It indicates that there is an intimate relationship between God and me and you. And it is at this point that the psalmist breathes gladness and singing instead of dread and fear. It is this intimate relationship that makes us part of the creative process of God to take care of the earth and help with our environment. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are created to sing and shout with joy and make our environment a better place to live in. We are created to help support God's kingdom here and now by entering God's court with praise and thanksgiving. We are participating in the process of creating and recreating. By entering God's court with praise and thanksgiving, we are indicating our active rather than passive participants or participation in addressing matters of death and life here on earth. As active participants in God's court, we show concern by transforming lives, providing insightful visions of realities that enable people to find meaning, inspiration, and challenges. We just don't sit down and hope for providence to come our way. We have to step in and act and be active participants in God's creation, because we are entering God's court with praise and thanksgiving. Rick Warren and Tim LaHaye are two spiritual leaders who sent two different views about how God deals with his creation. Rick is the author of the best-selling purpose-driven book, Life, Purpose-Driven Life book. He asserts without apologies that everything from good health to personal trauma comes from the hand of God. God, he states, has planned every details of our lives without our input. Rick believes that all and most important events of our lives, even the most painful ones, are further filtered and intended for our growth. He believes that and states that God not only allows us to experience pain, but places challenges and painful experiences in our lives as opportunities for spiritual growth and our test of fidelity. He states, God smiles on us when we obey him and follow through without deviation the script that he has written in advance. Even though God is the ultimate source of the tragedies we face, failure to find our purpose in life leads to meaninglessness in life and divine punishment in the life after. And Tim is a man who believes in the last things. He stated in his Left Behind series that God will rescue the faithful prior to any time of planetary cataclysm. And unless one recites the sinner's prayer, admitting your worthlessness and powerlessness, one will be left behind when Jesus comes. These are two views by two spiritual leaders. Well, while images of God who plans everything on our lives may be comforting to some people, others come to it a God who determines everything bad and catastrophic, a God who brings danger, mudslides, floods, tsunamis, earthquakes, a God who plants cancer on people even though they don't smoke 24/7 or they don't drink alcohol, a God who punishes people who respond inadequately to God's test of faith. God's relationality brings us closer to God's love and grace. God's relationality is in each of us here this morning, because we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We come to worship and help in God's process of making the world, our communities, our church, our homes, a better place to live for ourselves and our generations yet unborn. I was so impressed last week by Amy Peterson's witness to ministry. She states, "Our group now asked Carly to help us, but many of us that were originally to this group have continued because we care about not only our own children, but we care about all the youths here at Campbell. And we realize it takes a village to raise a child." She continues, "Because many of us have been on this council for a long time, we are encouraging anyone who may be interested in joining." And she concluded, "We need new enthusiasm. We need new enthusiasm. This is what God wants us to do, enthusiasm and participation in God's creative process, because we are His." In contrast to Rick Warren's statement that God had planned the most details of our lives in advance without our input, the psalmist's view in this verse, in this text, and Amy Peterson's challenge to us last week indicate that God's visions for His creation as we enter His gates and cut with praise and thanksgiving is to integrate God's visions of possibilities. Integrate God's visions of possibilities, possibilities set up in God's initial aim, God's grace, and the influence of our environment and our evolving creativity moment by moment. God, I believe, never created us to be passive. He never created us to be passive individuals, to do nothing to help the world. God never created us just to sit down, come on Sundays and sit down in the pews and listen to sermons and just listen to programs and go home. God created us to be active participants even as we come to church with thanksgiving and praise. God created us to take initiatives in working for justice, peace, equality, kindness, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, take care of the homeless, speak for the immigrants who cannot find words to express themselves at the hands of the government who wants to send them back home because they're worth nothing in this country. God created us to help our environment. God didn't make them so. God didn't plan for them to be that way. It is the environment that made them who they are. There is a lot to do for ourselves, for our community, and for the world. The table that is spread is an example for us. The table this morning is an example of God's love and a sign of our active participation in God's lovely process for this planet. As you step forward this morning to participate in this lovely Thanksgiving, remember the statement, "We are His. We are His people." Meaning, God is intimately related to you, and you are intimately related to God. God loves you and cares for you, and He will guide you and protect you, even in the midst of tsunamis, even in the midst of mudslides, even in the midst of flood, God is still your God, and God is still our God. And he has given us all the initiative, all the intelligence to step in and act. So no matter who you are, irrespective of your color, irrespective of where you come from, you are invited to come and participate in this lovely, lovely Thanksgiving. You are invited to come and shout with praise and thanksgiving. You are invited to come and participate and be active participants in God's lovely process. Amen.